Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and here we go. All right. And let's just get right at it tonight. Romans 6, we'll read the first five verses. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And that's really not a question, that's a rhetorical question, by the way. Because you can't. You can't live to something that you are dead to. And that's going to be the real theme as we go through this tonight. How done and finished, how perfectly the realm that we live is grace. I think it'll answer lots of things, and I'm hoping even bring more light upon that light tonight for us. So God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, so this brings us right into the power of his resurrection, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful? And by the power of that resurrection, us who believe, we are, hallelujah, with him and what he's made us, the new creation. And I thank God, the new man, Christ in us. We've been made one with Christ through his death, and that's one. One. And I thank God that we're in him. I thank God that now we are the sons of God. And I thank the Lord that our fellowship as sons is not at another table or another room. We fellowship with the very Godhead at the table. At the table. The one table. And there is only but one. And that is the table for the sons. Hallelujah. Now, 1 John 1:3. It tells us that our fellowship, listen to this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, that's now. That's not someday. That has been done. We have been brought in, and again, we've been brought into the family. But we've been brought into the family as children. Now, I know, brothers and sisters, we love our families, and I'm thankful, and I'm speaking naturally. But when they're your children, there's something different. There's just something different. Because what happens there is they become your heirs. It's that closeness, that bond. And that's why with the Lord, it's so beautiful. He doesn't have, and I don't have them yet, and I hear you actually love them more, but don't have grandkids or nieces and nephews and all of this extended family. He's got sons. Amen. And that's how close. And it's not someday, it's right now. And see, when we really get that, when we really realize who we are to God, who we are to Jesus, that our fellowship is that of and with the deity of the Godhead, then we realize how nigh we are to God. How nigh, bone of his bone, nigh. How close, flesh of his flesh. We are made nigh with him by the blood of Christ. It's done. Amen. Are we not one with him? I'm not trying to get one with him. I am one with him. We're one. He's made us that in Christ, right? Now, that love, that fellowship, praise God. What happens as we grow in the knowledge of it, it causes us to awaken. This is what this word does. It causes us to awaken to who we are in Christ. And as you awaken to who you are in Christ, what happens through that word and through faith in the word of God, you begin to walk worthy, if you will, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now think of the vocation that it speaks of in Colossians. That's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's your calling. I was able to even minister that today to that whole family. That high calling of God in Christ Jesus wasn't just given to Brother and Sister Johnson exclusively. It was given for them to give to their descendants. That message came through. I know that they know of that truth. And I know that the word of God does not return void unto him. It's right there. It's poised. Hallelujah. We're going to get to what these children of God really are and the life of that deity that lives in each one of the children of God. It's there. See, that life is a king life, and we thank God for it. But see, what happens is we awaken and we walk worthy of the vocation that we're called in all aspects. And see, many people think that walking worthy of this vocation is something about our actions. But what it is, it's faith. It's faith. When we walk worthy of it, it's in all aspects of faith, believing the word of God. See, we walk worthy by faith. Amen? Amen. Isn't that how you walk worthy? Isn't that how you walk with God? You walk by faith. It's not by sight. Really follow this through, because it is. It's a cookie on a shelf, but it's all connected with a bunch of cookies. So believe in the word and not my mind, walking by faith and not seeing with my eyes. Amen. This is the life that we have in us. Now, sure, we're going to be challenged. We're going to have hurts. We're going to have failures. But the power of his resurrection, praise be to God, is in us. I thank the Lord by the grace of God. The sons of God are the evidence of the power of his resurrection, because we are raised with him, are we not? Let me tell you something. You had to partake in the power of that resurrection, or you would have never been raised. You've died with him, and you've been raised with him. And you've been raised with him, and you're seated with him. Amen, you are. That's why I say it's not even just a table, it's a throne. That's your fellowship. Now, if the throne's your fellowship, what kind of fellowship is that? That's kingly, deity, reigning fellowship, is it not? Do you see how he set you there to get you to realize who you are? He didn't raise you and say, oh, I'm going to set a palm in your hand, did he? He raised you and he seated you together with him. Big difference. Just listen to the word of God. Let it minister by the Holy Ghost. Now, that gives us, isn't that wonderful? That gives us a vision. And not just a vision, it gives us his vision. It gives us his mind, his knowledge. And praise God, the love knowledge that we have. And yes, the love of who we are and who we are a part of. We are born of God. We are of him. And oh my, how much responsibility in what we have been given. And what we have been given and the family we are now part of. And once again, it's not deeds, but it's faith. Amen. It's faith. It's growing in the knowledge of who we are in this family. Who we are to God. What we have been made for him. For him. Amen. And that faith, that growth in the knowledge of the scriptures, of, as we've heard for years, our birthright. That's the fruit. Just growing up into him. Into him in all things. Isn't that beautiful? I know some people get bothered. No, it means growing up unto. No, it doesn't. It's growing up into him. Aren't we one? Aren't I his body? Why wouldn't I grow up in Christ? And if Christ is in me, what's growing up? It's him. See, you see how quickly, how troubled we can get in our minds? Oh, it couldn't say that. But it does say that. And why does it say that? Because you rightfully divide the word and you'll understand. Whose life is living in you, Christian? It ain't you anymore. You dead. Christ liveth in you. And thank the Lord that that's that oneness that we have. Now, why is this enlightened faith so important? Think about how God showed us that so sweetly in Enoch. Right away, Genesis 5:22, it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. Think of that. You walk with God. You want to walk with God? How do you walk with God? Well, what did that mean? Did he just walk along with God? No, he was talking with God. There was conversation going on. And thank the Lord, we have conversation going on. You know what he told you about you, sheep? He says, my sheep know my voice. And how delightful. And I'll tell you what, the likes of us. And that's who he likes to talk to, is us. And I'll tell you, he said, we know his voice. And as the Father said, he's the one I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Keep hearing him. Amen. Amen. And let's be quick to believe when we hear him. And I thank God that he's given us that. But see, we walk in a sense as that sweet Enoch. We walk as the mature sons of God. We walk in the attitude, in the confidence of the grace of God. And see, and that is the grace of God that is with us. And by the grace of God, we walk in that confidence and we walk in the attitude of the grace of God that is for us will be raptured out from among them just like Enoch was taken. And that is the truth. Now, let's go ahead and read on in verse 5 through 10. So it says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this. See, it's not wondering about this or learn. He said, just know this, that our old man, and that word is crucified with him. It's even better than that. Our old man was crucified with him. Done. Finished. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Is freed from sin. Not trying to be freed from sin. You are free from sin. Hallelujah. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing. Isn't that marvelous? He keeps telling us that what we know. You know this. Because of Christ in you. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now see it, know it, thank the Lord for it. That old man is dead. Dead. So we shouldn't serve sin. And why? Because we are free from sin. I love that. That's right. It's only going to get better as we get through this chapter. You're not going to believe that. Let's read verse 11. Likewise, oh, we got that word again, reckon. And old sweet Scotty said, oh, besides, you know, adding up, computing, calculating, defining, deciding, it actually even compounds. It just grows. It's marvelous, isn't it? But likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love that, again, that word reckon. It does mean to count. It means to add up. It means we determine. And what are we determining? That through the blood, sin has no reign over me. And that's the truth. And why? Because we are alive unto God, my Father, through Jesus Christ, who lives in me. That's the truth. That's the truth. Verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now those are two mighty verses. And what happens is people that really, 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 really want to, you know, get you right, they're going to just give you those two verses. And those are two marvelous verses. And you know what? It's truth. It's mighty truth. But I'm going to tell you something. Not a one of us sitting here tonight can do those two verses. You can't do it. You can't perform that. You can't even approach accomplishing that. Oh, but brother. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. We'll just get you a shirt with 10 commandments on it. Huh? All right. That's why he gives us more here. Now, we see it here. It says, don't let sin reign. And why? Because it's my choice? No, it's because it has no place It has no place. And here's the reason that we can rest in this, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, somebody was looking at their, it's not going to have any more dominion over me because I'm going to do what's right. Amen. I'm going to make the good decisions. Amen. I'm going to go out there and just, man, I'm just going to rack it up. You'll never get any credit because you can't get any. Look who does it. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law, but under grace. Grace. Oh, yes. See, it's done. It's done. I do not work at it. I don't work at not letting sin reign. I count it done. I reckon it. We go back to that. I reckon what God has done through his son, the finished work. The blood calculates it. It adds it up. It concludes that sin shall not have dominion over me because I am not under the law, but I'm under grace. Amen. That's the truth. You sure you really heard what the Lord, the Word of God, just said, right? I'll tell you what. I better stop. Grace did it. Grace did it. Did it. All right? I'm free from sin. So if grace did it and I'm free from sin, it's a lie to even think that sin has any reign over me. I'm getting awful quiet. I see some squeamish. Because you like to try. But it don't work. Be honest. I know ones that tried. And thank the Lord, I know the ones that tried, that realized it was grace. I still fellowship with them. I know ones that are trying, that have continued to reject grace. And you know what? They don't come here no more. And I'm sad. Now, once again, grace did it, and I'm free. Even if I'm acting like sin is reigning over me, it's still a lie. Did it not say that sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace? Amen. If you're a child of God, this is it. Okay, so think of it this way. You know how we'll run around here, and we do need to be, I think we need to be more precise in what we're describing. I know what our intent is, but people don't really understand. They say, are you a grace saint? There isn't a saint that isn't a grace saint. Amen. You're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Now, the question is, do you believe in grace? The question is, are you making grace effective and effectual in your life? Or as Paul said, I don't, you know, he didn't want to be like one of those that made it vain in his life, like an emptiness. He said, I'm not going to make the grace of God vain or void in my life. No way. I'm not going to do that. I tried that a long time ago before I knew the Lord. I didn't want grace at all. I wanted all my might. Just like he went back to those Galatians, he said, no, wait a second. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? This witchcraft. This is filthy. This is of the devil, of devil, of devil. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? They departed from grace. Pinky fingernail. That pinky fingernail happens. I'm going to clip my fingernail and that's going to get something right with God. That's how stupid it is. Amen. There isn't anything but faith that pleases God. Amen? Faith. And is faith something that I'm working or is faith something that he already done? Did Jesus Christ not finish it? Is not the word truly finished? Amen. Amen. So it's faith in what's finished. Faith in what's finished. Not faith in what I'm going to do, but faith in what God did through his son on the cross. That power of his resurrection. I tell you what, if you're squeamish, I hope you stay. But if you're going to keep going being squeamish, you might as well leave now because it's going to get worse. And I mean it. Because there's only one way, and it's grace. Now listen. Listen to this. Even if I'm still acting like sin is reigning over me, it's a lie. And I've always loved this. There's two things about a lie. Two things. First of all, a lie isn't true. And second of all, a lie never happened. And you think that out, and that's the truth. If it ain't true, it didn't happen. Okay. Now it gets better, I told you. Letting sin not reign, really isn't even making a decision. It's what we've just read. It's a reckoning. Letting sin not reign is a reckoning. Yes, it is. It's believing what is our reality. What is your reality? The reality that Christ Jesus lives in you. We go right back to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Didn't it say here, if I've died with him, I'm raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen? Amen. And did we not read? Well, actually, I'm jumping ahead. We're going to read that here in a minute, and it's so wonderful. But I'll give it to you. As he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Why would it be any different if it's his life that lives in me? See, God looks at me in the same way that he looks at his son. Because I am his son because of the life of his son that lives in me. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. But I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet, Jesse doesn't live. It's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the works of my flesh? I live by doing good deeds? No, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. That word that is finished. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm having faith in a finished work. Faith in a finished work. I think it's clicking. Praise be to God. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. How is he? That's how loved is he. That's how born of God we are. That's how like him we are. That's how free we are. That's the truth. That's the reality. And that's the power of grace that will break you truly from just a bad dream. It's a bad dream. That's what a lie is. Wakes you up. Wakes you right up out of a bad dream. Hallelujah. Listen to it. That sin you're dreaming of really isn't. And it isn't you. Because you are in the realm of what? Of grace. And where there is that wonderful grace, see, we know that we're not in that realm of sin. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. It's grace, grace, grace. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. Amen it is. Now, let's go back and read verse 15. What then? It's going to say it again to us. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Let's get that. Amen. Verse 16 tells us, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now, that's another one verse that somebody just loves to, bam, throw right out at you. See, that's who you are. Whoever you serve, that's who you are. Well, It says there is something about servants to obedience and righteousness. But boy, I'll tell you what, I thank God for this. I don't even have to make a choice. Because there's a verse 17 that shows me how much grace and how powerful what has been done. So let's go back and read 16, 17, and 18 together. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then, not trying then, or going to be, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And how did that happen? By the doctrine. By the doctrine. I know what I was apart from Christ, but I'll tell you one thing, I sure thank him for what I am. And this is what I am. I'm free, and I have become the servant of righteousness. It's marvelous. We are the servants of righteousness because that is what we have been made. Amen? Have we not been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Okay, so I've been made that righteousness. So he says that I've been made a servant of righteousness. Every child of God, that's what it's saying here. You're a servant of righteousness. Amen. It's wonderful because that is what we have been made, the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get it this way. I'm human and I'm a man. All right? I know it. I've lived it for a while. I'm a human and I'm a man. And that's what I was born naturally. And I ain't going to be anything else. I'm not. Even if I tried, honey, I still got the same DNA. It's a man. Huh? That's the truth. Now, that ain't going to change. So, get it this way. I'm born again. I'm born righteous. I'm not going to be anything else. Do you get it? And that's even more assured than me being a human and me being a man. I'm born of God. And I'm righteous. And I ain't going to be anything else. That's who I am in Christ. That's the beauty of what he's done. So we quit trying. We quit trying. And it's the form of doctrine. What is the doctrine? Grace. It's grace. That's the form of doctrine. That's what we believed. And that's what we believe. And we thank him and we believe it. We're obedient to grace because, praise God, you see, that's who he is and what he's given. So in that, we are righteous and nothing else. And I thank God that we can let the Holy Ghost show it to us in the Word of God. And then we realize who we are. And as we grow in that knowledge of who we are, the very righteousness of God, we're growing up in righteousness, aren't we? I think there's a connection that you could grow so much in righteousness that you actually get an exalted rank of righteousness crown along with Paul. Because you love my appearing. Now think about loving his appearing. Oh my, just hit so sweetly. When I see him, I'll be like him. How much righteousness, Tim? In the fullness, in the measure, in the stature. Unto a perfect man, Bob. Fully grown. How grown up is that? Oh, righteous, righteous, righteous. Now, when that happens, praise God, we realize it, we grow up, We put away the childish things and we wake up from a bad dream. Now let's close this out. Go on over to Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 20, of Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He reconciled all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth and things in heaven. Then I love this. And you. He's talking about all things to himself. And you. Isn't he beautiful? And that just, it just is all out here. It's like, oh, he's just mighty God, mighty God. And then, and Vince, and Aline, and Jerry, and Lori, Scott, and you. Huh? That were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now from there, brothers and sisters, we grow up fully in faith of the truth. We grow up by the grace of God of who we have been made for him and to him. Go on over to Galatians 4:1. Because this really just, it wraps it up of who we are when we're born of God. The moment of salvation. Every child of God, what is there? The full potential. The purpose of God. His expectation. By the power of his Holy Ghost. To grow up fully. That complete and perfect and mature Son of God. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, that's a child of God. Amen? An heir is a child of God. As long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though that child, that heir, be Lord of all. It's all there. Lord of all. Go on back. Romans. Let's read verse 22. In light of that light. 6:22. But now being made free from sin. And become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end everlasting life. Now. That is us. We are free from sin. And we are the servants to God our Father. We are, by the grace of God as we grow into this, he sees us, the potential, to be the mature sons. Amen? And we have fruit in holiness. And to the end, as it even ends it up here in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. See, it's that gift that he gave us is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we have all through Jesus, this gift of God, we have got it. And where this brings us back to is where we started. The fellowship with God. The fellowship with the Godhead that we are his sons. We are his sons. I pray, and I've been guilty in some respects of thinking this, even in the past. I need to get past my responsibility and get into the power of what I've already been made in Christ, the very righteousness of God. It's like I want to take hold of something, of me and doing something, to be responsible for something. It's the doctrine. It's the faith. It's understanding who I am in Christ. That praise be to God, the life that he gave me is the Lord of all life. I don't work for that. It's just who I am in Christ. I thank the Lord that we are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's been made for us. And I thank God that we are that to him. But we are, if you will, we're royalty. That's what a little Lord of all, that word Lord, it's speaking of is a king, a ruler. We are royalty. And this puts it right in perspective. Did we not read we are servants of righteousness? Well, you know what righteousness is? It's the very royalty and reigning of God. Think of that. Righteousness is the very royal and reigning of God. So what I'm a servant to is I'm a servant of reigning. I'm a servant of reigning, of being a king. I'm not a servant of serving. Our DNA is of God. We are kings. We are lords of all. Our matters are that of reigning with Christ Jesus and reigning now. Isn't that what the sons were raised for? Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? Isn't that what Galatians 4:1 is warning us? If you don't grow up in the knowledge of who you are in Christ, you're going to be nothing but a servant, and that's what you'll remain. What a pity. What a shame. What a sham that the enemy wants us to be under. It's clear, isn't it? And it's just so beautifully clear of what his expectation is for every child of God. Amen. You're Lord of all. Yes. And this good fight of faith isn't for Jesse to go out and do. It's for me to know. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. In the knowledge. I don't want to look at me in a mirror. I want to see the new man. I want to glory in that man I hope to be. I glory in that man. That man that I read in here that is to the fullness, the measure, and the stature of him. But that's the man of Christ that he put in me. Put in you. And thanks be to God. We wrap this up thinking, even if you will, about the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman knows who her spouse is. She has no doubt. He's mine. And I'm his. And you know what? He's known in the gates. And you know what? She's known in the gates. We're known by him, and soon we're to be known by all. And known for what? That he loves us. And I'll tell you what. When we are about those reigning things, the reigning things, everything else just not only fades away, it just goes away. Amen. And I have to tell you, that's why it's been so beautiful. I've been excited and thankful and just really euphoric about Christ in you, the hope of glory, like never before. Because you're everything. You're everything. Because you're everything to God. And that's the truth. You see who you are in Christ? You see, reckon. I always loved how Brother Hill would bring that out. Brother Copley brought it out before him. Know it. And isn't that wonderful how the Word of God, how many times do we read knowing? You know, as we know, and we know. Know it. Reckon it. You don't work for it. You count it, sum it, add it all up. His brother back there would say, let the Lord connect all the dots. Know, reckon, and yield. Praise him for it. Thank him for it. I'll tell you what, that's why I thank the Lord for this altar. That's why you need that encouragement, as Brother Paul said. I'll tell you what, yep, speaking in tongues, it edifies a man in himself. Oh, well, we shouldn't do that. But Paul came out there and he says, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. Let me tell you something. You need spiritual encouragement all the time. Yeah, you do. And I'd take it. Because I tell you what, there's a yielding in praising. There's a yielding in thanking. That's the yielding. The yielding is just thanking Him for what now you've counted done that you knew. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We're grateful for this encouragement of grace. Lord, this inheritance, as Abraham said of his, it's a strange place. There's a warring. There's a warring, the flesh and the spirit. But, oh God, when we just rejoice in what you finished and who we are, what we've been raised in and to, Lord, for now are we the sons of God.
Hallelujah!
And it doth not yet appear what it shall be, but we know when you shall appear, we shall be like you, for we shall see you as you are. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.